D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena. 3 hours from puck drop on the Predators 2025-2026 season against the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's at 7 o'clock. Pregame starts right after our show at 6 o'clock with Max Herz right here on 102.5 The Game. So on our setup here at Barrel House inside Bridgestone Arena, outside section 111 and 112, we've got some tchotchkes here.
Yes.
And one of the things on our desk is this plastic cowboy boot that can be filled with liquor.
Huh.
And I learned that if you come to Barrel House, again, outside of 111, 112, only at Barrel House can you fill this thing up with a frozen Jack and Coke. Mm. Only here.
Can I see it?
At Bear House. Yes, you can see it.
Oh, wow.
It looks like the country of Italy.
It's hefty.
Yeah.
So if you are looking for a frozen Jack and Coke.
Frozen Jack and Coke in the boot.
Only at Barrel House can you get this boot filled with frozen Jack and Coke at the game. That's outside of 111, 112. And the reason I say all this is because I've known Willie Donick now for more than 10 years. Mm-hmm. You've known him longer.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten to know Willie so much more since we've all been working together.
Uh-huh.
I consider Willie a close friend. And one thing that I admire about Willie Donick is he is a boot half full kind of guy. Or, in most cases, a glass half full kind of guy. But you fill this thing up with frozen Jack and Coke. Halfway, Willie's going to say, hey, that boot looks half full. It's never going to be half empty for Willie Donick. And we were talking the other day. We were talking about Albert Breer's report in Sports Illustrated about how Brian Callahan called in most of the Titans' captains and allowed them to air their grievances. Remember the whole Festivus thing from the other day? And during the course of that conversation, Willie, you said, and I'm only slightly paraphrasing here, that Brian Callahan is trying to keep the door open and not have his name written in pen or Sharpie. I don't know which one you're using over there right now.
I'm using Sharpie.
Okay. You said that Brian Callahan is trying to keep the door open and not have his name written in Sharpie of he's gone at the end of the year. He's trying to create a pathway to have that discussion be open. I think a lot of people hear that and probably say, you're nuts. Brian Callahan is 4-18 as Titans coach. They won their first game in nearly a calendar year on Sunday, and it required the Arizona Cardinals to puke all over themselves, much like if you drink too many frozen Jack and Cokes in this boot. That is what the Arizona Cardinals did. Remember, the Titans' win probability in that game was as low as 1.8%, and they pulled it off. But that was just Callahan's fourth win in 22 tries. So, Willie, I want to... We talked about the pathway for the Predators to start the show. So I want you to lay out what you think the pathway is for Brian Callahan to keep his job past this season.
Well, number one, he is the coach right now, so he's there. He has that turf. Number two, I'm not saying he's going to be the coach next year. I'm saying this is what when you be where your feet are. You don't give up. I think when that Colts game ended and they botched the halftime field goal kick thing on top of everything else that had happened, I think in that moment around the league and definitely in this market, I think there was basically the three words you don't want to hear, dead man walking, was really the feeling. And I'm not saying I felt differently. I'm like, he's on the outside looking in. But the fact is, I don't think they want to do that. Albert Breer made a good point in his article when he talked about last week's win, among other things. He said it's never good. The rest of the year is a waste. If you have an interim coach the rest of the year, we fire a guy in October and you have 3 months left in the season. What's the use? So I think in that mentality, he's got time to try to change the narrative. And I'm not saying he's going to, but how he would do it would be this. A, they have no more gaffes like that they've had. Okay, that's got to be old news by the time the season ends. Number two, they've got to get a little healthier. They've got to get J.C. Latham back, which looks like it could happen. I don't know how today went. He's now back on the practice field. He was limited yesterday. Mm-hmm. Having him back in there and even close to him at his best self would make a difference.
He was, so I don't know if there is an injury report out for today, but he was limited yesterday with his hip injury,
right,
which is the first time he's participated in practice in weeks. So we'll see what happens today.
That's the first time we've seen limited next to his name since he left the game in the opening week.
Correct.
T'Vondre Sweat basically hasn't – he has not practiced since injuring himself. He's on IR.
Yep.
Those are two incredibly important players in the now and in the long term.
Latham was back on the practice field today. No injury report yet, but he did practice again today.
So we'll see if he did more today. It's Thursday. You got a little time. I think they're trying to see if they can get him up this week. I do think if you look at the schedule, it does get a little bit more manageable as you go through. So I think then it all comes down to the most important thing. How does Cam Ward look between now and the end of the year? One of the things about being so bad at the beginning of the year is that you have nowhere to go but up in a lot of ways. And so if you just think about how much better everybody felt on Monday, even though it was a fluky win, it still felt a lot better. They had some positive things happen. So I think there is a pathway, because I also believe this. We've done the research on when you change coaches after 1 year of the first overall pick. It's not good. Mm-hmm. So if it's close, he should get the benefit of the doubt. He's got to make it close to where there's an argument to keep him. So I believe he can do that. A lot of things have to go right. He's still on the, let me make it clear, he's on the outside looking in. But I think there is a pathway. If his team can play spunky, play smart, and they lose because of their roster, and they don't lose, and the story is, hey, the coach has screwed it up, then he's got a chance.
Derek, do you share Willie's optimism?
There's always, unless, you know, under extreme circumstances, there's always a pathway to redemption, especially when you're so early in the season. Listen, I do believe the pathway is Amy. That's what it is. If she can, because what did they preach at the beginning of the season?
Patience.
That's what they preached. They didn't give anybody he needs to go 9 and whatever, or he needs to win X amount of, they said none of that.
Here's
they said,
one thing I remember. Sorry, Derek. Here's one thing that I remember. I just wanted to say it before I forgot. That story that Teron Davenport and Jeremy Fowler wrote at the beginning of the season, it was about Cam Ward and the ways that the Titans can avoid the fates of Bryce Young in his first year and Caleb Williams in his first year. I believe the term that Teron and Fowler used was modest progress. Mm-hmm. If the Titans can show modest progress, that could be enough for Callahan to retain his job past this season. So I just wanted to get that out there because I was about to forget. Please continue.
No. I mean, they never gave a definitive, this is what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Why would they do that? That would be basically malpractice, because as soon as one of those things don't happen, everybody's point, we want the coach fired, because you've already labeled out what you need to see. They left it sort of in the open. They just left it in space so they can interpret what, you know, success or what development looks like in regards to this team. So the pathway to me is Amy. Is she in the upper management going to be true to their word? Are they going to allow patience in all of this? Knowing that if they fire this man in the middle of the season, like Willie said, you still got 8 weeks left, 3 months left. And then you're going to have to start over again looking for another head coach. And I know some people really don't care about that. I get that part. Some people are probably like, man, he needs to go,
right,
period.
They
I don't care.
The pound
exactly.
Flesh.
They just want somebody out.
The bloodlust. Remember the bloodlust?
They just want somebody out. I understand that point.
I don't know if you can fill this boot up with bloodlust.
Oh, you probably
can. I'm sure
can.
You could.
But to me, if Amy and Borgonzi and Brinker stay true to their word. He's already relinquished power as an offensive coordinator. I don't think he ever gets that back, even if he keeps his job. And are they seeing him develop the way they want him as a coach? And are they seeing the quarterback develop the way they feel he needs to? So first it starts with Amy. Is she willing to be patient and not make any knee-jerk reactions when New England come in the building and say the Titans lose? No, seriously.
No, these are the tests.
Yeah, these are all the tests of patience.
She apparently passed the first test,
exactly.
Which was the Titans being shut out in Houston.
Exactly.
That was the first test, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brian Callahan had to – was that the first game with that? Okay, so it actually happened before that, right? The relinquishing of play calling happened before the Houston game?
Yes.
Okay, so never mind. So Brian Callahan did not receive any sort of punishment for
that. No, and my thing is she – again, it's her team. Do what you want to. But I'm saying, if you on the front end said we're going to practice patience, we're going to be patient, and didn't give anybody any markers to look to. I mean, they got markers, I'm sure. But they didn't give anyone true markers to look at to say whether this coach is doing a good job or this team is doing a good job. They just said, hey, listen, this team needs to develop, period. We're not going to put it on how many wins he needs to have. We just need to see development. Okay, if that's the case, then if New England walks in here and they beat your team, I don't think they will, honestly, but if they come in here and they beat your team, are you going to practice that patience which you preached at the beginning of the season? Because it's going to take it.
Well, this is
what it needs to be, the narrative. The narrative needs to change from what it is now to once I gave up the play calling,
yes,
the quarterback got better, the team improved, and we lost because the roster is subpar right now. It's not. I'm doing what I can with what I have to work with. That's what he needs to get to. It will be difficult to do that.
Yeah.
Because it's hard not to look bad with the shortcomings that they have. But I would ask everybody right now, what did you think their record was going to be? 4-1? No. They played good teams. Their record is about what I thought it would be. Connor Orr had them at what? 1-7? 0-8?
I think it was 1-7. He had them winning the Arizona game, if I'm not mistaken. So
so far he's right on with what he thought.
I'm going to have to pull that up.
Pull it up. Connor Orr.
Just give me a moment.
Just for one. He picks every game every year. I'm not saying he's Nostradamus, but he's a national guy, objective. He thought the Titans would be 1-7 at the bye week.
Wow.
Right? Don't they have a bye after 8 weeks?
Yes. Hold on. Let me double check. Let me check this right now. He had them indeed losing their first four games and winning at Arizona.
There you go.
So he's expecting, okay, just so in case you want to free up your next month, he has them losing the next four games until the bye.
Okay.
So 1-8 at the bye. So, but he's dead on so far.
So you have to look through all of that. And
he has them finishing 4-13, by the way.
If you fire the coach, there's going to be an interim coach, and you're probably going to change coaches at the end of the year anyway, unless it's a Mike Mularkey. They did keep Mularkey and go with that. So that's one avenue I guess they could go.
Yeah.
But aside from that, what you're trying to do is say, we're getting better. Keep with me with the continuity. Our quarterback is growing. We're improving. But the key is, regardless of the one loss record, what's the feeling? In the first 4 weeks, they're 0-4, but it was the way they were losing is what didn't look good. Mm-hmm. Right? They've got to change that narrative between now and the end of the year for him to survive. That's his pathway.
And Derek mentions Amy Adams Strunk, and she knows that her franchise has been labeled dysfunctional, which is something you do not want to own, a dysfunctional franchise. It still makes a lot of money,
yeah,
so maybe you do.
Money, yeah.
But it doesn't feel good to be a dysfunctional franchise. Since what? When was John Robinson fired? December 2022? So if Brian Callahan gets fired at the end of the season, so that's what, January 2026, that means that the Titans will have fired two general managers and two coaches within three calendar years, more or less.
Yep.
That is the definition of a dysfunctional franchise. 615-737-1025, our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Is there a pathway for Brian Callahan to keep his job past that season? And if you would think so, what does that look like? 615-737-1025, our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hey, Titans fans, if you are headed to Las Vegas this weekend for Titans Raiders, be sure to find Derek Mason, Big Joe Dubin and Chase McCabe at the Overhang Bar inside the Circa Las Vegas. There will be drink specials, including giveaways, featuring two tickets to the Titans-Raiders game. Go to CircaLasVegas.com for more information.
You meet with your captains on these mornings. What do you get from that conversation, and maybe what's the dynamic, the way that they're open with you and honest with you?
Yeah, it's really productive, I think, for all of us, both from my perspective, getting information, things I might need to know, things that I can try to help with, things that maybe they have they'd like me to address in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it's as simple as a schedule tweak or, hey, look, this is how the team's feeling today. It just helps me get a pulse from them on what the team is. And they actually have a lot of conversation amongst themselves where I just sort of sit back and let them talk. I'll offer some thoughts on the theme for the week or some messaging that maybe that I want to get ahead of and give to them so they can carry that message as captains of the team. And they're really productive. It's just a chance for us to take 20 minutes on a Wednesday morning for the start of the week and check in, make sure we're doing the things we need to do. And but I think the coolest part to me is when I get to just sort of step back and hear them speak to each other about leadership, about where we are as a team, what we need to see from them. They've all really grown quite a bit too. It's been a fun process to see and to hear them talk to each other, I think, is really the thing that I enjoy most about it. And it's productive. I'm glad we do it.
That was Brian Callahan yesterday talking about his meetings with his leaders. Of course, Albert Breer reported after the game on Sunday that last Wednesday, Callahan and most of the team captains met, and the captain spoke their minds, and Callahan listened, and you know, it was sort of a rallying point. Although the again, as I said, the Titans certainly benefited from the Cardinals puking all over themselves, which you don't want to do, especially if you're coming to Bridgestone Arena tonight for the Predators game. Drink in moderation, folks. But, you know, the question we are discussing here, because it's something I heard Willie say at the end of our conversation in the first hour on Tuesday, is there a pathway for Brian Callahan to keep his job past this season? And what does it look like? You know, I said earlier when talking about the Predators' playoff chances, I said their path is as narrow as a tightrope. And I think Callahan's is probably the same. If, let's just say, the season plays out the way that Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated said it would at the beginning of the season, and so far, he's 100% correct. He predicted the Titans to go 4-13, losing their first four games and winning their first game in Arizona, which they did. He also has them losing their next four games and being 1-8 at the bye. So let's just say it plays out that way, Derek. Let's say the Titans go 4-13. Now, in Connor Orr's mock-up, which I closed the tab, of course, he has the Titans closing out, I think maybe winning two of their final three, two of their final four. Mm-hmm. Let's say the season plays out that way, though, 4-13. And Callahan doesn't make any more catastrophic mistakes. He doesn't admit to not knowing a rule or some sort of operational mishap happens, like with the K-ball in the Colts game. As long as he avoids that, 4-13, you think that's enough?
I would tend to say probably not, but again, they didn't give us a number that he needed to reach. They just said we need to see development. We need to see progress in this team. Okay, progress, how does that look? Because like Willie said, if they don't have any more embarrassing losses or play or he do something or something that cost them the game, meaning he, the head coach, then realistically, does this team have the talent to win more than four or five games? Especially with, you know, how rigorous this sport is. And it only takes one guy, as we've seen already. Two guys are down, and it's affecting what they're doing. Big sweat on the defensive line. It's affecting them and stopping the run. And Latham on the offensive line. It has affected him on the right side. So if, for me, if these guys, if they go out, they stay healthy, you know, they play well, and they may not win the bulk of their games. Again, they may finish the season with just 5 wins. If you're just looking at it based on a win-loss record, then he needs to get fired, point blank, because that's 2 seasons in a row. But if you're basing it on how this team plays in those losses, then he has a shot. Because Willie said it's because then you will know that it's not my coach, it's my roster. He's only, like Willie said, he's only doing as much as he can with the roster he's been having. He's been handed.
By the way, Willie, Connor Orr has the Titans winning 2 of their final 3 games, beating the Chiefs at home and the Saints at home before losing in the finale at Jacksonville.
I think the last game of the season, as we know, is a complete unpredictable situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You may not want to win that game. The team you're playing absolutely may not want to win that game or is going to rest as many people as they possibly can. So that's one where I don't know how you could predict what will happen. Could you have predicted what happened in the last week of last season at the beginning of the year? Mm-hmm. That Joe Milton would do what he did to
deliver Cam Ward to the Titans?
Yeah, and the Titans, I don't know deep down what their plan was, but they were putting Will Levis back in, mm-hmm. taking him out, putting Mason Rudolph back in when they knew Mason Rudolph wasn't going to be back. They did some odd things. There was a pass that Will Levis threw that was intended for one guy that another guy caught for a touchdown. And I don't even remember the guy's name. He's not there anymore.
T. Martin?
It's not T. Martin. It was something like that.
I'm going to find out.
But what we're saying is there's a lot of
insight. The tight end Martin.
If you're judging what happens with solely wins and losses. This is my point, right? Who cares what happens? They were better off losing that game because they got the first pick.
Yeah.
So
Tay Martin. T-A-Y, not T. Martin. So, he's a coach, right? T. Martin.
Yeah.
Sorry. Tay Martin.
This team needs to pick high. They need to lose a certain amount of games. But you want to try to thread that needle of your team looks good. It looks like it's getting better. Cam Ward's getting better. Hey, the offensive line, mm-hmm. you might have the same 5 guys next year. That would be a huge checkbox to try to get back into the saddle next year. This is the pathway. If I got a big mower and I need a power mower that can cut the long grass down, right? My pathway to they got a lot of tall grass in front of me. Uh-huh. I need a powerful mower. So I got to have my offensive line look like it's professional. Hey, I got my dad as the offensive line coach. Let's keep him here. The offensive line is moving in the right direction. I got 2 guys that are young. Mm-hmm. They're good. My quarterback's getting better. Hey, I got a couple of young receivers. Maybe they're not going to be great, but they might be good, solid role players. DK's a really good return guy. Special teams rookie of the week. Eric Iomanner's a nice second, third guy. Maybe. Gunnar Helm looks like a nice piece. These are the things that have to keep trending that way. Mm-hmm. That's what can get you through this forest of high grass.
Hey, also, T. Martin was a national championship winning quarterback for the UT.
That's right.
Easily
you can't forget that.
I'm very, very sorry, exactly. Balls fans.
Yeah, you can't forget that.
Hey, T-Martin, you get it.
T. Martin has a street named after him in Knoxville because of that national title.
Tay Martin has no streets named
zero.
After him.
Zero. No statue. Maybe his high school Hall of Fame. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Just maybe.
Like Willie Donick in his high school Hall of Fame.
Winter Park Wildcats. Shout out, baby.
Woo, woo.
Spelled wrong, but, you know, it's still there.
It is spelled. It's spelled my first name wrong.
That is true. But here's something.
Respect.
Here's something that I've been wondering about with Brian Callahan.
Oh, man.
Brian Callahan wasn't hired to be the, I think the common term is the CEO coach, right, who oversees everybody else. He wasn't hired to be that coach. He was hired to be the next offensive whiz who calls the plays. And that did not work out. And those responsibilities are now with Bo Hardigree. And I can't imagine a scenario where Brian Callahan gets those play calling duties back. I think that ship has sailed with the Tennessee Titans.
I agree.
So I'm wondering about, you hire a coach for one purpose because of one thing you hope he can do. And he failed at doing that. So now he is taking on that more CEO type role where he is overseeing everybody else and making himself more available to the team so he could have these Festivus-style airing of grievances. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering, like, is Brian Callahan cut out to be that kind of coach? That was not the kind of coach the Titans hired him to be. So does that work against him, that he is now coaching in a manner that was not the original plan?
Of course it will work against you, because at least I believe they hired him mainly because they felt he was going to be a great play caller.
Right.
And, you know, the problem that some teams have is they have a head coach and then they have a great play caller. And after a few years, if that team's doing great on offense, what happens? The play caller gets a head coaching job somewhere else, and now we got to promote from within or go out and get somebody else, and we start the whole cycle over again. So they were trying to avoid that. They was trying to avoid the, if we're doing well, the offensive coordinator leaves. No, he's not leaving, because the offensive coordinator is the head coach. Well, they found out, as he did, after a year and some games, that maybe, just maybe, you're not ready to be both. We're not saying that you're not a head coach, but you can't do what some of these other coaches are doing, these young coaches are doing, that are coaching as well as play calling. You have a hard time at doing that for whatever reason. So, okay, you delegate that to Bo Hartigree, and you just, now we want to see how you manage this football team. Because this is Miss Amy showing patience. Now we're going to just let you coach the team. We're not saying that you got to be in the offensive room all the time or the defensive room all the time. You get an opportunity, something that you didn't have before, to spread yourself evenly amongst every unit. So everybody, so you get a feel of every unit in the building. And that in turn may help you as a coach. But this is it. Like, you need to show us you can be a coach now. You're no longer the play caller. You are a head coach. Let's see how you head coach on a Sunday.
One texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, trade Simmons for our first and let's lose the rest of the games in shootout fashion with Cam Ward cooking, and we'll get the high picks and the development. I will just say, I still am very much in the trade Jeffrey Simmons camp, although he is playing at an all-pro level. I am very much still.
That means his stock is going up.
Yeah.
Yes. But your thoughts on, let's lose all of the games and Cam Ward in shootout fashion and let Cam Ward cook.
Yeah, I mean, I get that from a fan's point of view, because you want a higher pick. And you're sort of getting the best of both worlds, in a sense, in your scenario, that you lose every game, but Cam Ward is looking damn good on offense. Well, your defense is looking like trash. That's a negative, you know. To me, it's hard to do, point blank. You can't convince 52 guys to throw a game, or 52 guys not to play hard. You just can't do that. Maybe 1, 2, 3, yeah. And even that is tough. But you're not convincing 52 people, or 47, which they have on game day, to not play hard. So to lose every game, you must just be a bad team. But they're not just going to go out there and lay down and let whoever just, you know, score touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. So I understand what the caller's saying, when the texter's saying, but you don't want that. Because it took the Lions, when they went 0-whatever, it took them
0-16.
0-16. It took them about 8 more years to dig themselves out of that hole. And they were already in a hole.
Well, we know the Titans won't go 0-16 because they did win
exactly
last week. Titans
they
at
could go 1-16.
They could do that. Ah. The Titans at Raiders, Sunday afternoon in Las Vegas. Raiders favored by a field goal. Well, actually 3.5. Raiders favored by 3.5. Tennessee at Las Vegas. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, a couple weeks ago, Derek Mason, he was pretty hard on a certain member of the Tennessee Titans. And that certain member of the Titans had a great game on Sunday. And I want to get into the wide receiver translator, which sort of gives away. Spoiler alert, it's about Calvin Ridley. I already ruined it. 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. The DVD show, that's our show, is presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you live at Bridgestone Arena. Blue Jackets at Predators. Season opener for both squads. 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame right here on 102.5 The Game. Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Friedman will join us in roughly 15 minutes for his first chat of the season. Always look forward to talking to Elliot. Derek Mason, a couple of weeks ago, you were awful hard on Calvin Ridley, and he deserved it. He was bad in that game against the Colts. One reception on 7 targets through 4 weeks. Perhaps the most disappointing receiver in the NFL. But he came through in the clutch for the Tennessee Titans at the end of the game in Arizona. 5 receptions on 10 targets for 131 yards. Let's start here. What did you see from Ridley on Sunday that had been missing the first 4 weeks of the season?
Start catching the football. You know, he seemed to be more consistent in this game than he has been in previous games. I don't know why, you know, his season, the last 2 years, has started off very slow. Last year, I contributed it to, you know, DeAndre Hopkins being there and you know, Levis trying to, you know, figure out now. You know, Hopkins was his guy 2 years ago. Now we got this new receiver, and how do I implement him in? And it wasn't until they traded DeAndre Hopkins that Ridley started to flourish a little bit, you know, with Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. But for whatever reason, I think Ridley's a good receiver. He's a really good receiver. He's just inconsistent. And I don't know where that comes from. I've watched him for a very long time from afar. His time in Alabama, loved him when he came out. His time with the Atlanta Falcons, when he got suspended, the first thing my saying was, the Titans need to go out and get him, trade for him. Get him. He's a 1,300-yard receiver. Get him. They didn't. He ended up going in Jacksonville and then here. So I've always been, you know, a pro Ridley guy. But he's been too inconsistent for me. And with a young quarterback, you can't be that inconsistent. Now, moving forward, hopefully like last year, his game picks up and he starts to take off.
To your point on that, through 6 games last season, he had 12 catches on 36 targets for 183 yards. I believe it was the first game against the Colts he was 0 for. Mm-hmm. I think maybe 0 catches on 8 or 9 targets. His first game without DeAndre Hopkins was that blowout loss to Detroit. He had 10 catches on 15 targets in that game, and he seemed to take off from there. So my question to you, to your point, is can the game on Sunday be sort of a launching pad for Ridley and or spark trade interest in Calvin Ridley if this thing continues to go sideways?
It could. I think what helps him and what can help Cam, get them some easy throws. Get them some easy throws and catch together. You're starting to do it with DK, with the screens. Make Calvin Ridley a part of that. Get him. He's the type of guy that I believe that he has to touch the ball early on something easy so he can kind of get himself into the flow of the game. Because if his first couple of passes are sort of those deep or sort of hard passes, if he drops it, it seems like for whatever reason, he gets sidetracked, and it's weird. He is a guy, to me, that needs to start off fast. How do his receivers start off fast? Give him something easy. Give him a quick slant. Give him a quick screen. Let him and Cam get into the flow of the game very quickly. Let him get his hands on the ball. Because then I think he's going to be in the flow of the game, and he's going to have a better game. He's going to feel more involved. But if he doesn't start off fast, it's going to be a long day for him. And then, in turn, it's a long day for the offense. So I still like Calvin Ridley as a receiver. I still think he can be a playmaker for this team. but he has to stop being so inconsistent as he has been last season and now this season.
A quick update. Injury report is out. J.C. Latham limited again in practice today. So limited yesterday, limited today. Let's go to David on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Okay. First off, about Calvin Ridley, you need to get his crocodile arms removed. But aside from that, Calvin Ridley can play, but he doesn't like to go over the middle, and I don't know that I blame him. I don't want to go over the middle either. But we talk about rebuilding the Titans, and I think that we need to be focused on rebuilding the Titans, not trying to fix the Titans. I spend a lot of time listening to people talking about you need to blow it up and send it away. Well, all that sounds like fantasy football to me. If you're going to rebuild the Titans, what you do is you take your 10 best players and give them enough money to stay. You take your 30 next best players and give them some money, and then go and get rid of the 10 worst players and replace them. The idea that you can lose 16 games and draft your way to success is insane. Anyway, that's my thought.
Well, thank you, David.
No, thank you, David. And David does have points. But that's what every league tries to do, every team in this league tries to do. And Borgonzi spelled it out. He said, we want to draft, develop, and retain.
Except for Jarvis Brownlee.
Yeah, except for Jarvis Brownlee, get rid of him so early. But the premise is, we got to draft this team. We got to draft. We're drafting for our future. We're going to develop them, hopefully, and then we get an opportunity to retain, like, you know, the caller said. You know, you get your 10 best players, which they identified this season. They identified their top players on their team. And then you figure out, well, that middle, who in that middle, because it's more than 10 people that this team needs to replace. So I understand the caller said, well, replace the last 10. On this team,
there's more than 10.
It's more than 10 people. So that middle
just
bunch.
List the, I would encourage that caller and anybody who is thinking about, like, what does the vision look like? Just start listing, ranking the players on the roster. And then rank the Lions or, you know, whoever you think are the best teams in the league.
Here's something else you can do.
And look at a comparison.
We all know, we would all agree, especially this season, that Jeffrey Simmons is the Titans' number one player.
Yes.
Who's number two? And how big is that gap?
Good question.
Oh, man.
This illustrates the point.
Yes.
I would say.
And drafting, I know that David, our caller, David, you know, he did not like the idea of drafting to the top, if I recall his point.
Well, you have to draft.
That's part of it. That's a huge part of it.
It's the only way to get good players is drafting.
Well, get players and have that longevity with them. Because free agents, you can go and pluck a few free agents, but they're on your really realistically only on your team for a couple of years.
The free agents in football should be the icing on your cake and not the cake.
Or if you are one person away and you feel you need
icing.
That one person.
That's the icing. So. The cake are your draft picks.
Yeah. The guys you develop.
Here's an interesting question from Terrell on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It goes to a question we got from Jared in Spring Hill at the beginning of the show about the Predators. Terrell says, most teams adopt their coach's persona. Knowing Callahan as much as we do, has this team taken on his persona? And if so, what is it?
Oh, wow. This team has
no
identity. Unfortunately, this team has no persona.
And that's bad.
Yeah.
Because
I'm looking at the team and I'm looking
at the
team and like,
the
what do you hang your hat on? There's nothing. Outside, I can throw Jeffrey Simmons in there and say stopping the run, but they haven't been able to do that well.
Well, here's a quick way to illustrate this point. Derek Mason, describe the identity of your Baltimore Ravens teams in five words or less.
Hard-nosed, tough, physical, relentless.
That works. That's five.
Okay, who else?
Your Titans teams.
Same, just about the same thing. Smart, intelligent, relentless.
Now do the Brian Callahan Titans.
I don't know. I would assume
we don't want
they're
there.
Smart. I know they are. But like you said, this team has no identity, at least an identity where we can see it on the field. Brian Callahan, they can talk all they want about this is what we are, this is what we want to be. And I get that point. You want to be that. But on the field, are we seeing that? And a lot of fans would say, no, we're not seeing that.
I don't think anybody can say that they have a good identity right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right now they just don't have a good – 1 week they're doing this, 1 week they're doing that, 1 week they're doing nothing.
They're trying – I think that would be something that you hope you could answer at the end of the season. If you're trying to make a case to keep it how it is, lose because you don't have enough good players. Don't lose because of the coaching. You want to build something that looks like an identity. If I were Brian Callahan, I might try to sell the identity.
I would say they play hard.
He needs to get good at selling – Yeah, he says they play hard.
I believe they do play hard.
That should be a job requirement.
I believe
that's not
they
an
do play hard and they don't quit.
Yeah.
That's a part of the identity. But like you said, that should be there.
Yeah.
But a lot of, you would be surprised at how many times it's not there. But the willingness to continue to fight, not just fight, but what they did last week, even though it was basically given to them, but they continue to fight, and they continue to hustle. Say, this is a team that continues to fight, and they're going to play hard. But beside that, what else can you say about them?
By the way, one texter says, but the icing tastes so much better than the cake. I mean, that is usually true.
You ever try to eat a cake, just icing and not the cake?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Have a plate with only icing?
I've done that before.
I made the devastating.
It's great.
When I was a kid.
In the first few moments.
When I was a kid.
You pay the price.
Oh, yeah.
When my wife was pregnant with our son, I made the grave mistake. She was craving frosting. Uh-huh. And she was craving saltines with frosting.
Oh.
So she would buy, like, the Betty Crocker Pillsbury frosting and just dip it in saltines. And I made the grave mistake one night.
Uh-huh.
Of finishing the frosting, and she never let me hear the end of it. She was like, how dare you? I'm with child, and you ate my frosting?
Hey, so, listen, that's one thing you know not to do anymore.
No, I'm never going to do that again. 615-737-1025. It is Predators opening night. Willie Donick has departed because FanDuel Sports Network has an hour-long pregame show. Do not ask Willie how to find FanDuel Sports Network. He will sock you in the mouth. But coming up next on DVD, Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL insider. He will join us to talk about the beginning of the NHL season, his thoughts on the Predators. We will get to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet coming up next, 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.